Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text of God's precious word for our consideration this morning is the Thomasius Gospel text appointed for the Sunday after Christmas, which is also the narrative that the children studied in Sunday school this morning. As we find it recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 32, as follows. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn Redeemer and Savior, beloved hearers of His wonderful Word. We Christians, by God's grace, had a most wonderful spiritual build-up to Christmas during the Holy Advent season, during which our hearts and minds were prepared for the coming of the Savior. Our children then put the happiness of Christmas into scriptural perspective when in their recitations on Christmas Eve they reminded us of our great need for this Savior, of God's many promises of old concerning His coming, and of His perfect fulfillment of all of those promises on the first Christmas night. And then on Christmas Day, we explored together the glory that is due to God alone for the true peace that is His gift to all the world in the child, Christ child of Bethlehem's manger. Peace on earth because of God's goodwill to men in reconciling the world unto Himself, unilaterally not imputing their trespasses unto them, but all in view of the perfect satisfaction which Jesus, the Christ child of Bethlehem's manger, would render to God's justice on behalf of sinful mankind. But my dear hearers, knowing all these wonderful facts, all these wonderful details, and even the great comfort of the Christmas gospel is not enough. Just seeing the baby Jesus lying in Bethlehem's manger isn't enough. And just knowing that He's there for you isn't enough. But dear old Simeon, in the text before us this morning, shows us how to make these blessings of Christmas our very own for time and for eternity, as the blessed result of taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith. That result, according to our text, is threefold. First, the Christ child brings peace to our hearts. Secondly, he gives purpose to our lives as Christians here in this world. And thirdly, he brings hope to our future, especially as we look forward to a blessed departure from this sinful world into the everlasting happiness of heaven. The first verses of our text set the occasion on which Simeon encountered his Savior face to face and saw the realization of his lifelong hope. St. Luke tells us by way of introduction that Mary and Joseph had brought the infant Jesus to the temple at the age of 5 weeks, or 40 days, to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. So in addition to his having been circumcised on the eighth day, thus fulfilling the law of God in that regard, and the covenant which God had made with Abraham years before, the little Lord Jesus continued to demonstrate his humility under the law, as we heard in the epistle read before, as our substitute, by observing even the ceremonial regulations of the Lord in the Old Testament regarding newborn babies. Now, it was on this occasion, while in the temple that day, that this new family encountered the aged Simeon, who was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or comfort of Israel, waiting for the Savior to arrive. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here we have, in other words, among all those Jews of Jesus' day who had slipped into what we call today dead orthodoxy, or mere formalism in religion, and who really had lost sight of the Messiah and the work which he was to perform as the consolation of Israel, who were simply in tune with the rabbinical religion of the day and going about from day to day with no thought of the Messiah to come at all. Here we have a true believer in the Old Testament, a true believer who was just, not just because of his own goodness or merit before God, but justified, as was Abraham of old, by faith in the coming Savior. And he was devout. He was sincere in his love of God's word, and like the psalmist David, love for the habitation of God's house, the place where God's honor dwells in the preaching and teaching of his precious gospel. Simeon practically lived there in the temple in his old age, as did his fellow believer Anna, of whom we heard in the gospel lesson read before. Being in the temple, hearing the word of God, worshiping him in his house, concentrating on the coming of the Messiah, was their whole life. Now, Simeon, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, like Joseph and Mary, like the shepherds on Bethlehem's fields, he was looking forward in patient faith to the coming of God's consolation, the helper, the comforter of God's people, whose advent had been foretold by all the prophets since the world began, the Bible tells us. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, Luke writes in our text. God's own Holy Spirit had not only created in his heart saving faith in the Messiah, whom he longed to see, whom he had been following through all the prophecies of the scriptures down through the whole Old Testament. But this Holy Ghost had preserved him in that faith now over all these years and had strengthened him in that faith to the extent that his devout life as a messianic Christian was shining forth as a beacon to the people of that city of Jerusalem, as was the life of the prophetess Anna, who gave testimony to all those who looked for redemption in Israel, those who still understood and trusted the promises of the Savior to come. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. And we don't know how that happened. But it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the word which means the Anointed One, Messiah in Hebrew. What a wonderful and assuring promise that was to this aging believer. God's people of old had been waiting for over 4,000 years for the appearance of this Messiah. Eve thought that the Messiah had come when she bare Cain into this world. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were promised that in the seed of the woman and in their seed, which is Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And down through the whole Old Testament, the promises of his coming were becoming clearer and clearer and more detailed as they went along. And now here is old Simeon, whose age we do not know exactly from our text, but he had been promised by the Lord that he would not die before he laid eyes on this Lord's Messiah. The question is, in retrospect now, considering Simeon's great joy, do you feel as blessed as Simeon felt, my dear brother or sister in the Lord? You should, because you and I not only have that same promise for ourselves, but we have that promise in fulfillment. Because in the Holy Scriptures of our God, which testify of Jesus, as Jesus himself says, we too have already seen the Lord's Christ. We have seen him more sharply defined in all of his splendor than Simeon saw him. Simeon saw a child in his mother's arms, whom the Lord identified to him as being the Lord's Christ Messiah. We have seen him as our Redeemer. We have seen him as our Savior, who sacrificed himself for us. We have seen him in the Holy Scriptures as our mediator and advocate before God's throne. We have seen him as our protector and defender against the devil. We have seen him as our divine prophet, priest, and king. In much greater and more glorious detail than Simeon saw him. Just think of what you and I have to be thankful for. And let us be thankful for it. And let us show forth our gratitude by using to its supreme advantage the Holy Scriptures of our God, which have opened to us the sight of the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, to the place to which the same Spirit leads us to receive the knowledge of his truth. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. What a fitting place for this glimpse, this very brief glimpse of God's Messiah in his state of humiliation. For here was the Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords, but made under the law, subject to its demands in our place, fulfilling its precepts even at the young age of only 40 days, not because he needed to, for himself, but because we needed him to do that for us in order to satisfy God's perfectly demanding justice in our place. Of all the babies probably in attendance there at the temple that day, and there could have been a whole line of them waiting to present their babies to the Lord. Of all of these babies, the Lord Jesus stood out to Simeon, not because of some supernatural glow emanating from his face, not because of some holy aura surrounding the Virgin Mary, but because of the Holy Spirit's leading. Just as the same Holy Spirit identifies him to men today through his word. Saying, for example, through John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Simeon took this child up into his arms and blessed God. He glorified God in that wonderful song of praise called the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing together each Communion Sunday after having received the Savior's true body and blood in the Holy Sacrament. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord had indeed fulfilled his promise to Simeon in letting him see with his own two eyes the one who would bring salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, as Zacharias also sang of him. But Simeon was not just seeing the physical child before him in the arms of his mother. He was also seeing by faith all that this holy person would accomplish for sinful mankind, as this is clearly revealed in the Holy Scriptures, both of the Old Testament, which Simeon knew well, and in the New Testament, which we have written also for our learning. Here was the salvation which God had prepared before the face of all people. Not just for Simeon to see, not just for Mary and Joseph to treasure in their home, not merely for Jesus' disciples to see, not merely for the Jews of Jesus' day to see, as he, during his public ministry, walked visibly among them, preaching in their streets and in their synagogues. But this salvation was for all people to see in the gospel and to accept and to trust in as their Savior. The Jews still today believe that when and if the Messiah indeed comes, he is coming for the Jewish people. Simeon knew by the enlightenment of God's word that this Savior was to be the Savior of all men. And indeed, as we, my dear brethren, take this Christ child into our arms by faith, we have, as the result, the very same benefit that Simeon had. We have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1. Peace of heart, rest for our souls, Jesus called it in John chapter 14. That is the indescribable peace of conscience that assures every believer that we are no longer God's enemies. We are no longer doomed to hell and damnation because of our transgressions, but rather that God, for Christ's sake, no longer charges our heinous sins against us. And when we enfold the Christ child of Bethlehem in our arms of faith, in confidence of that blessed fact, Paul says that we are justified. Justified as was faithful Abraham. Justified as was dear old Simeon in our text. Personal recipients of God's forgiveness and possessors of his peace, the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding. That's the peace that Simeon had. And that's why he was ready to depart this life cheerfully and confidently looking toward his salvation. What an unspeakably great blessing to a poor, undeserving sinner. Now you have seen God's salvation yourselves in his precious gospel. And so have I. Just as recently as at Christmas time when we heard the good tidings of great joy proclaimed by the angel over Bethlehem's field, as recited to us by our dear children. Take that blessed Christ child up out of the manger of his gospel and hold him in your arms of faith, as did Simeon of old, and make his peace your peace by faith in him, praying, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee." Now we see from our text a second blessed result of taking this Christ child of Bethlehem up into our arms of faith, namely that he brings special purpose to our lives as we work zealously to spread the glad tidings of salvation also to other people. Simeon sings forth in his praise to the Lord not only that his salvation had been prepared before the face of all people, but that this bringer of salvation was to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. Dear old Simeon knew very well all the promises of God in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah to come, and his mission, including those prophecies which spoke of him as a light of the Gentiles. Isaiah 60, for example, where the prophet speaks in spirit to Jesus himself and says, "A Gentile shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And in chapter 42, where the Father speaks to Christ, saying, "I, the Lord, will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." These and many other prophecies clearly show that although the Jews had a special advantage among all the peoples of this world, in that to them were committed as to stewards, the oracles of God, the inspired scriptures of the Old Testament, yet Jesus, as a Savior of men, had been intended from the very beginning to be the Redeemer of all people. As Paul also writes to Timothy, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of this blessed truth. Now we, brethren, are Gentiles. We are non-Jews. And his gracious will toward us in making this salvation a light to us that otherwise would sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, strangers from the covenants of promise. This should fill us Gentiles with such gratitude to God that we cheerfully shoulder our responsibilities as missionaries for this Savior, to spread his gospel far and wide, beginning, of course, as the Bible says, in our own backyard, as it were, right among those with whom we are in contact every day, but ultimately before the entire world. And God's salvation is also the glory of his people Israel, Simeon declares. The sure vindication of God's promises of old that the Messiah would come from Judah, that is, from the Jewish people, that he would come from the family of King David. But to the true Israel, that is, to the children of the promise, who trusted God's prophecies in faith, this Savior would certainly be the crowning glory and a cause for rejoicing. Yea, their very own salvation through faith in his holy, precious blood, of which the blood of the Lamb in the Old Testament, the Passover Lamb, was only a type or symbol. But Jesus came to his own people, to whom had been committed these wonderful oracles of God, and John had to write in the first chapter of his gospel that when he came to his own received him not. Just as the prophets had foretold. They deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves, instead of his blessing, swift destruction. And yet the Lord in his mercy still wants the Jews to be our mission prospects. They are still living in the time of grace. This gospel is still here for them. Even though they reject the New Testament scriptures, we have them. And we have the privilege of sharing them with them. We have purpose in our lives, as did Simeon of old, when he praised God openly in the temple, as did Anna of old, who spake of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. And we should be zealous and courageous witnesses unto him and to his wonderful salvation, which he has prepared before the face of all people in his precious gospel. We want other people to know what we know. We want other people to believe what we believe. We want souls to be saved by faith in the child of Bethlehem. Now, the dear old Simeon has one final blessed result to share with us from taking the Christ child into our arms of faith. And that is that this precious Savior then brings hope to our future as we look forward to a blessed departure from this life. Oh, here it comes now, in this happy, blessed Christmas season. The downer of having to look forward to our death here in this world. No, my beloved hearers, this is no downer. This is the culmination of our whole Christian faith. This is what Simeon was looking forward to his whole life. This is why we are Christians, not just at Christmas time, during times of merriment, not just when we are young and have our whole life to look forward to, as it were, here in this world. Not just when we're healthy and strong and vibrant and prosperous in our professions and activities. But when the hour of death comes, that is the real test of our faith. Remember that the Holy Ghost had revealed to Simeon that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now that he had indeed seen him, not only with his physical eyes, but with his eyes of faith, Simeon could confidently declare, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." He was ready, cheerfully, and peacefully to depart this life and to reap all the benefits of salvation prepared for him from the foundation of the world. He didn't say, "Now, Lord, let me just hang around until I can see this child grow up. until I can see him culminate his work of redemption for me. Seeing him as the fulfillment of God's promise was quite enough. Temporal death for a Christian, be he young or old, should hold no terror whatsoever. For Christ, God's anointed one, God's salvation, has conquered death for us. Sure, according to our flesh, in our sinful weakness, death is still a bitter prospect to face. And when we Christians contemplate our ultimate departure from this evil world, we have to fight, and we will always have to fight, the efforts of Satan in our last hour to use our weaknesses against us, to shake our confidence in Christ, our Savior. But we can fight Satan successfully only if and when we use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as our effective weapon against him. God's holy word, in which the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us the challenge against death itself. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, what makes death so painful, is sin. The strength of sin is the law, because the wages of sin is death unto all those who are still under the law. But Christ, the Lord's Messiah, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that makes death such a powerful weapon in his arsenal, that is the devil. And he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So hope in the face of death is a real test of our faith. Hope in the sense of Scripture simply means confident anticipation. No guesswork, as in the hope that unbelievers express regarding the things of this present world, as the flip of a coin, for example, and hope which they do not have concerning death and the life hereafter. We have real confidence that God will do for us what he promises in his word. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. If Christ is our dear Savior, the sweet, precious baby of Bethlehem only at Christmas time. If Christ is our dear Savior and our comfort in tribulation and trial while we are still here in this world alive, and we don't have death to deal with, then we are of all men most miserable. Because that is all that the poor wretches have who believe in a social gospel for the here and now. But Paul continues, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, the prototype of them that slept, the prototype of Simeon in his death, the prototype of dear Anna in her death, the prototype of all those who sleep in Jesus. That is the hope that we have as Christians, the confident anticipation that the Savior will make good on his promise, because I live, ye shall live also. Yes, when we take the precious Christ child into our arms of faith, we not only have access into that hope, but the writer to the Hebrews says we have that hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Take him up then into your arms of faith, brethren, as did Simeon of old, and enfold him and hold him in your arms, and with him all of the wonderful blessings that he imparts to you, his believing children. Peace to your heart in the remission of all your sins. Real purpose to your life, not just in getting through it, not just in making yourself a success here in this world, but the purpose in your life to share the tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Share them with everyone. And hope to your future, even in the face of death, as you confidently declare with Simeon, in peace and joy I now depart. I hold my Jesus to my heart. Nor fear nor hell can vex me sore when I shall stand at death's dark door. 'Tis but the gate to heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.